Exodus chapter number 20. The book of Exodus and chapter number 20, if you would, please. We're going to continue on in our midweek series, our Wednesday night series on loving obedience to a loving God. We take in hand this evening the third commandment, or just because I like the way it sounds, we're going to call it the third word. The third word. You remember the Decalogue means 10 words. And so tonight we'll look at the third commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, God's word reads, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The third commandment, honoring the name of God. Honoring the name of God. Names are important, but in all honesty, and don't take this the wrong way, just help me develop it for a minute. What we name someone in our culture, in our society, doesn't carry the same meaning as it did in years past. If you're a Bible student, you know that throughout the Bible, in particular in Hebrew writings, names are significant. Names are important. People, places, things were named a certain way for a reason. Yet, in our society, it doesn't play as important a role. I remember, it doesn't seem like it, but 15 plus years ago, when Pat was pregnant and we were trying to decide on baby names, you know, we didn't think a whole lot about what those names mean as much as we thought about what name did we want to choose. Not that there was some hidden significance or that it was a descriptive of what kind of child she'd be. No telling, her name may not be Grace if we were going to name based on what kind of, I'm just kidding, but that's, you see the relevance of what I'm saying. In Hebrew literature, names were descriptive based on behavior or what happened at a certain place. But today, names just don't carry that same significance. I heard a story of a man whose last name was Odd, O-D-D, and he hated his name. He was picked on and ridiculed all of his life because his last name was Odd. Well, he went to school, studied as hard as he could, made a success of himself, became a lawyer, had a successful life, but he made sure that when he died, he left word. He said, "I do not want my name put on my tombstone." So after he died, he had them engraved. It was engraved on his tombstone and said, "Here lies an honest lawyer." And when people would walk by his graveside, they would say, "Isn't that odd?" But names matter. I don't tell a lot of jokes, so I'll give you that one for free. But names matter, right? Names matter. Even more so, the name of God matters. In Hebrew, a name was always descriptive. Let me just run you through a couple things real quick because I think it's important that we understand this. Flip back to Genesis in chapter 3, just real fast. The book of beginnings, the book of Genesis chapter 3. Now I want you to see how important names were. And we could run references like this for 30 minutes tonight, but we're just going to pick a few of them. Genesis 3 verse 20. "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." The name Eve in Hebrew means life giver. So there was a purpose, a characteristic, a behavior, a descriptive behind her name. If you'll turn over just a few more pages to Genesis chapter number 11, there's another example. And like I said, there are many of these, but we won't run all of them. Genesis chapter number 11, look at verse number 9. Genesis 11 verse 9, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. The Hebrew word there for Babel means confusion. We talk about even today, we say somebody's babbling. They talk a lot and incessantly going on. They're babbling. Confusion. The word, they called that place Babel or Babel, however you want to pronounce it, because of what occurred there, the confusion. In fact, I won't ask you to run the reference, but you can go all the way to the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 8, there'll be a great star that falls down out of the sky, and they'll call it Wormwood. This is, I believe, during the days of the prophetic days that are yet to fall ahead of us, the great tribulation period. A great star falls down out, and it falls into the waters, and it turns all the waters bitter. Therefore, the name Wormwood means bitterness. Bitterness. And so in Hebrew, we learn names really meant something because of what someone, what they were, what they were going to be, how they would behave, what took place, characteristics, behavior. Names meant something. And that's never, never more true than when it comes to the name of God. The name of God. When we talk about honoring the name of God or not taking God's name in vain, it is important that we understand why that matters. We need to understand something about the name of God. God's name stands for, listen to this, God's name stands for everything that He has revealed about Himself. His name speaks to us about His behavior, His attributes, who He is, what He has done. His name stands for that. We have, and if you've never noticed this, you need to notice this. And this is something you need to take with you well beyond the night. And it's something that you need to remember. When we read in our Bibles, for example, in verse number 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord." Do you see the word Lord there is in all caps? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the, if I may say it this way, this is a special, unique name of God. It's called a tetragrammaton. It was actually written in four letters, YHWH. YHWH. And it's where we have got the term Jehovah. Jehovah. Now some people would argue that's not a great rendering of YHWH and prefer to use Yahweh. Yahweh. But that name goes all the way back to the mountain with the burning bush. When God spoke to Moses and said to Moses, "I want you to go speak to the children of Israel and lead them out of bondage." And Moses said, "Whom shall I say, send me? On what authority do I have to go and do this?" And you look at it and you'll find out that God says, "You tell them that the I Am has sent you." And that's the same word as we've derived. It means to be. The God who is has sent you. And that's what Yahweh means. That's what Jehovah means. The self-existent one. And so when we read this, "Thou shalt not take the name of the self-existent," needs, you know, all of us need or are dependent on something or someone else. But God is not. He's completely independent. Self-sufficient. "Thou shalt not take the name," that high and holy name, "of the self-sufficient, completely independent God in vain." Do not take His righteous, holy, sovereign, superior name in vain. Don't do that. Because God's name stands for everything that He has revealed Himself to be in Scripture. God's authority is behind His name. God's attributes is behind His name. God's very person is behind His name. Now think about it like this. When we say we are trusting in the name of God, would you say this evening that you are trusting in the name of God? That doesn't mean you're trusting in just some frivolous title, right? What it means is you are trusting in who God is, what God has done, what God has said, what God has promised, This is what I'm trying to emphasize to you. It means we are depending on, or we have faith in who God is. And God is who He declares Himself to be. His name represents who He is. And this is why. Because His name represents His character, His behavior, who He is, and what He's done. This is why abusing His name is so egregious. Because it is an affront to His very character. Abusing His name is abusing His character. And we all, don't just get the idea that this is just a message for all the unsaved. This is a message that is applicable to all of us. We must all be careful not to sully the name of God. Has anyone ever asked you, can I use your name as a reference? Has anybody ever asked you that? I was in management for several years, and the people said, can I use your name as a reference? And there are some people, I didn't want them using my name as a reference. Have you ever had that? Because they were a lousy employee, and I didn't want to give them my stamp of approval. You understand what I mean? There was a guy asked me one time, he was a heathen, really. He was just lost and sort of proud of it, and he sort of in mock or jest said to me one time, he said, well, I tell you what, if I get up to them pearly gates, I'm going to mention your name. I said, listen, man, don't you mention my name. I don't want to be associated with you at all. I said, I don't have any confidence you getting to them pearly gates, but if you do, you leave my name out of your mouth. I don't want you mentioning my name. Why do we do this? We say we don't want someone to misrepresent us. A doctor could say, I've got a good name in the community. Hopefully you could say, I've got a good name in the community. And I don't want somebody to disrespect my name. And what we're really saying behind that is, we don't want them to disrespect us. If a doctor says, I've got a good name in the community, and I don't want somebody going out and slandering me, assaulting my character, it means more than just the title he goes by. He doesn't want his reputation to be sullied. And so it is with God. His name is so high and so holy and so perfect that we need to be very careful that we don't misuse His name, that we don't give Him a bad name by what we say or do or don't say or don't do. This name, God's name, garners great respect. His name should be known as a name of great integrity. We talk about this, about people having a, quote, good name. And in fact, you'll never understand. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is greater to be chosen than great riches. Now, that's not talking about Mary, John, Sue, or George. It's not talking about what name that you have. What he is saying, it's better to be known as honest, even if you're poor, than to be known as a crooked rich man. It's good to have a good name. That people, when people, for example, if someone said mentions your name, people don't roll their eyes and say, oh, I know that scoundrel. You want to have a good name. You want to be reputable. So much more to the nth degree God. We should conduct ourselves and behave ourselves in such a way that people understand we have reverence for the name of God. And not sully His name, not speak ill of His name. His name represents His character, and it matters greatly. God help us to respect God's name. It makes reference to who He is. You don't want anybody slandering your name, do you? You want someone defaming your name? How much more should we be jealous over God's name? That His name might not be defamed. His name not be slandered. Yet, we hear God's name abused and misused on a daily basis, do we not? I wanted you to notice first the name of God and why it's important, but secondly, notice the abuse of God's name. I would say on a daily basis, we are confronted with co-workers, friends, family, television, internet, and social media that repeatedly take God's name in vain. Repeatedly. take God's name in vain. How often do you hear people say things? And I'm going to use this in the context of this message, and I trust that God is wise enough to understand what I mean that I'm trying to teach by it. How often do you hear people say, "Oh my God"? I have a family member, and I'm not going to name which one it is, but repeatedly says, "Oh my God." You know what that is? It is a breach of the third word. It is breaking the third commandment. It is taking God's name in vain. And folks, you know, our society doesn't think much of it, but they ought to sit down and read Exodus 20, verse 7. They ought to sit down and read God's warning about taking His name in vain. How often do people say, "Jesus," "Ah, Jesus," or say, "Christ," or say, "Oh, God"? If you had a dime for... And listen, somebody's going to roll their eyes at me and somebody's going to laugh at me when I say this, but that's all right. I don't really care. Some of you speak text language and some of you don't, but for those of you that speak text, if you had a dime for every time someone sent OMG, you'd be rich. OMG stands for "Oh my God." Now somebody can say, "I mean gosh." Well, that's just a slur stuck in behind it. That's all it really is. You know it is. And it is taking God's name in vain. Now kids don't think anything of it. OMG. OMG. And every time it is a sin, it is an affront to the very nature and character of God. God's name is high and holy, and it is not to be treated as a byword or a slur word and not as a cuss word. Let somebody, you want to know how much religion somebody's got, let them slam their finger in the car door. And I'm saying that lighthearted, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to stand up here and say I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm thankful not everything comes through my mind, comes out my mouth. I'm thankful for that. But God knows our thoughts. How do we in our inner man feel about the name of God? In anger? In shock? In surprise? People abuse the name of God. They treat it as profanity. When you mention God's name in an empty way, in an insincere way, in a frivolous way, that is taking His name in vain. My dad used to say it like this, and if I could say it better, I would, but I fully agree with him. He would say, if you are not talking to God, or you are not talking about God, then you should not be using the name of God. Amen. Now let that stick with you. You're not talking to God or talking about God. You have no reason to be using the name of God. These are all blatant. When somebody puts the word God and damn together, that is a blatant abuse of God's name. It is foul. You know, I don't know why we do this, but we seem to put tiers of profanity, and at the top of it is the word God and damn. But when you take His name in vain, I don't know that God looks at it just a whole lot different. But people, you have people today who think nothing of this, who think nothing of taking God's name in vain. I would imagine that there's some people, I am certain that there are some people out there who wouldn't even think it's a sin to say Jesus Christ in a defamatory way. You can't watch television now. It used to be that was off. You know, you could use profanity, but you couldn't mention God. All the gloves have been taken off now. It is full throttle attack against the very essence and being of God in our society today. You want to know how to make somebody mad? Correct them when they take God's name in vain. You listen to somebody say, oh my God, enough times and you can't take it no more. Number one, you ought to be jealous over God's name, and you ought to muster up the holy boldness to say something to them about it. If you love them, you ought to love them enough to tell them. You're reaping up the anger and fury of God against yourself because you are misusing His holy name. You ought to love them enough to tell them the truth. You say, well, they'll get mad at me. Well, they better get mad at you now than stand before Jesus one day and give an account for it.
Amen.
People think nothing of it, and you see, boy, they'll get defensive or mad in a hurry, those that have been taught better. But you realize that this warning about taking God's name in vain is not just on those blatant abuses that we hear so often, but it's also a warning against vain repetition in prayer. I'm going to confess to you just how unspiritual I am, and I'm about embarrassed to do it, but I was listening to a man pray. There was nobody here. It's not even a member of this church. But I was listening to a man pray not too long ago, and he said, Heavenly Father, about 40-something times in a 2-minute or 3-minute prayer. Didn't the Lord warn us something about vain repetition? And just because you say Lord 100 times when you pray doesn't make it any less vain repetition. Or Father, we should not use God's name in vain. It's not just something to fill the air when we pray. And now you're going to sit there and say, man, I hope you don't call on me to pray tonight. Now I know that's what you're saying, but I'm serious. We should not just try to fill the air with God's name. It should be treated with reverence. This also warns against, and let me just take this a little bit broader now, when there are men who claim to speak in God's behalf, preachers, whatever you want to call, when they are claiming to speak in God's behalf, but if they're not speaking truth, they're taking God's name in vain. They're saying that they are speaking in the behalf of God, but if they're not teaching truth, then at that moment, they are taking God's name in vain. When people claim Christianity for personal gain. Now, this is one of those things that I doubt we'll ever have any trouble with here in our church. But there are some churches that are very wealthy, and the membership is very wealthy. And there are some people that will just up and join a church and claim to be a Christian just for personal gain, political gain, financial gain. And when someone does this, they're taking God's name in vain. When you claim to be something you're not for personal gain, that's taking God's name in vain. When you swear an oath, when you make a commitment in the name of God that you have no intention at all of following through on, you are taking God's name in vain. When somebody lays their hand on the Bible and says, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And the whole time they plan on lying, they are taking God's name in vain. If someone claims to be a Christian, but have never truly been saved, they're taking God's name in vain. When a man and a woman marry, normally the woman will take the man's name. Right in that, normally what happens? She'll take the man's name, thereby identifying herself with him. And for those who would claim to be Christians, who have never truly been born again, they are identifying themselves with someone they do not belong to, thereby they are taking his name in vain. Those who confess to be saved but are not, are taking God's name in vain. But when we claim that Jesus is our Lord, but we do not do the things that He has commanded us, now we're really getting down to the preaching, right? When we claim Jesus is our Lord, and in that New Testament rendering, Master, we're the servants, He's the Master. And when we say Lord or Master, but we don't do what He has told us to do, we are taking His name in vain. Now that's hard. But friends, there's the beauty of all this. Because I've tried to explain this to you, I've tried to emphasize this to you as I've taught you. The purpose of the law is not to make us righteous. It's to show us how unrighteous we are. Because there's not a person under the sound of my voice who has not at some point taken God's name in vain. Either through the words of your mouth, the thoughts of your heart, or through misconduct. We've all failed in this. And there's the beauty. This is why God gave the law. God never thundered down from Mount Sinai so He could make a bunch of legalists run around in Israel. That's not what it was about. It was about to show them how much you failed and how much you need me. Because I'm the Lord that has redeemed you even in spite of who you are. Even though you've blasphemed my name and even though you've spoken ill of my name, still I love you. Still I have redeemed you. There's the glorious beauty in the redemptive work of Jesus. You want to think about something? Never one time in the 33 years, give or take, that Jesus lived on this earth, did He take His Father's name in vain. Now that's something. Never once did He take His name in vain. And you see, He lived that perfect life because we live these imperfect lives. And in these laws that we're studying together, these Ten Commandments, where we fail to love Him like we should, see, really this is part of the first table. When we love God with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, we won't take His name in vain, right? You see how it all paints together, part of that first table, that first tablet of stone? When we see our great failure in this, it points us to the great redemptive work of Jesus in our behalf. We don't see our holiness, we see our wretchedness. And we see His holiness. That's the purpose of God's law. This is why He gave it to Israel. This is why it still matters to us today. That we would continue to see our need of forgiveness from God Almighty. That the blood of His Son would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The risen Messiah who lived that perfect life and died for us and rose again. He did all of that because we take God's name in vain. Because we struggle with idolatry. Because we don't always love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then there's a warning. And this is why it matters. Here's the warning. If you continue to read this text, Exodus 20, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Listen to this warning. "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless." Now that's a strong warning right there. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. We've got just a couple minutes, and I've committed to trying to be short on Wednesday nights, but turn over to Leviticus. I want you to see how serious God takes this matter about His name. Leviticus in chapter 24. Here's a good story that will tell you just how serious God is. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should fall back under the old Mosaic law. I'm not saying that as far as picking up stones and stoning people. I am not saying that. But I want you to see how serious God is about honoring and reverencing His name. Look at Leviticus chapter 24 and verse number 10. Let's just read this story. Verse 10. "And the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian," so he had an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father, "went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp." These two men got in a fight. "And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses. And his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward." In other words, they stuck him in jail. "That the mind of the Lord might be showed unto them." Understand, they're trying to figure out, we've got laws for this, this, and this, but we're not real sure how we should handle this. So they put him in a holding until they could consult God, pray and ask God's leadership. In verse 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall surely stone him, as well the stranger and he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." Again, I reiterate, I'm not saying If you hear somebody taking God's name in vain, that you have the liberty to pick up stones and start stoning them. I'm not saying that. But I do think we have a responsibility to warn them that God may thunder down from heaven in judgment on them for disrespecting His name. We, each one of us, have failed in this, and we need to heed this warning by honoring God's name. Now, I've told you, there is a divine forbiddance in every one of these laws. Thou shalt not do this. On the other side, then, there is a positive instruction. Now, just keep that in mind as we walk through these 10 commandments. The divine forbiddance is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So then what's the positive side of that? We should honor God's name. We should respect God's name. We should venerate God's name. We should lift it high. We are taught to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Set your name on high. We should pray that God's name would be hallowed or set apart as holy or reverence. We know that God and His great name that represents who He is, and so we should try to protect God's name through our actions, through our behavior. And we are told to honor Him. In fact, in three specific occasions, and I'll give you one of them, Psalms 29 verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. We should honor Him. The negative side, don't do this. The positive side, do this. And here's the truth about it. When people disrespect God's name, whether it is us or anybody else, it really doesn't change who God is. It just hurts us. It affects them. I remember I was visiting with Doug Newell. Doug Newell's got four sons, and we were sitting in a hotel room in a conference somewhere talking one time, and one of his sons was cutting up. And so he went over and he picked his son up and he sat him down beside him and he scolded him and said, stop doing this. And his son took his fist and pounded it down on the coffee table. And Doug looked at him and he said, son, he said, do you think that hurt me? Now, I'd have probably snatched his little behind up and give him a good what's up, you know. But just the same, he said, son, do you think that hurt me? And I saw that light bulb, you know what I'm saying? You just hit click on that boy's head and say, his correction was right and my behavior didn't hurt him at all. All it did was hurt my little hand that pounded that table. And when people blaspheme the name of God, it's just like that boy hitting that table. You hadn't hurt who God is. All you've done is hurt yourself by disrespecting your Creator, the one who loved you so much that He gave His own Son for you. You hadn't hurt Him. You've just hurt yourself. And let that be a warning to us. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.